Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are some immigrant experiences in the Midwest? Let's go in depth with Professors Brian Campbell and Josh Dolezal of Central College and hosts of the podcast, Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. Brian, tell us a little bit about the podcast, Mid-Americana.
Yeah, so Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest is a podcast that I co-produced together with Josh Dolezal. We've just started our second season of the podcast, and you know, we started this as two folks who moved to the Midwest as adults and, you know, just trying to make sense of what makes the Midwest unique as a region and how it's changing and maybe how there's more than meets the eye, more than people sometimes expect from the Midwest. So this season, we are featuring stories of immigrants who moved to the Midwest from other countries.
So totally from other countries, just not from other states.
Yeah, really, it's the reverse of our first season, which followed the theme of homecoming, native Iowans who left and then came back to stay. And so in this case, it's folks who left, but from a different place, from their native country, and then made a new home in the heartland. And in some ways, those stories overlap because there is a common destination, but really the points of origin are quite different. And I think they illustrate our concept of the Midwest as a dynamic and changing place.
So why did you do this? I mean, doing a podcast is a lot of effort. Is this something that you did, let me just start it this way, for yourselves to learn, or did you do it for a specific listening audience in mind?
That's a good question. I think the more time we spend on it, the more we ask ourselves that. It's been a lot of fun and it's a lot of work. But I think, yeah, there's certainly a personal element. You know, we are both interested in sense of place, both as scholars and just as human beings. And so I think we wanted to understand this place where we live and call home and how it's changing. But I also think, you know, we feel like there's a lot of other people who appreciate the Midwest in its complexity and dynamism and contradictions. And so, yeah, we had a hunch that there was an audience, and it's been exciting to be able to produce something that we can share. You know, we've had students involved in different ways and have been able to make lots of great new connections for ourselves and for the college by doing these interviews and sharing them.
I might just add, there's kind of a two-part vision for our audience. One, as folks who grew up elsewhere and settled here in the Midwest, I think we've absorbed some of the feeling of slights, you know, from those who see this as flyover country. And I think initially we wanted to correct some of that or challenge some of those outside views in the Midwest. But we also hope that the stories that we share help people who are native to the Midwest rediscover their home. So there should be some element of surprise or something new there, even for people who've lived here all their lives.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Brian Campbell and Josh Dolezal, hosts of the podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. This year's theme is immigration. And so you're talking to people from other countries and their perceptions of here. And that's got to be fascinating. Brian, who did you, well, you've got some of them already produced, ready for us to listen to. And you each have one. Brian, can you tell us about who you interviewed, why, and just a basic synopsis of what you learned?
Yeah, I can share about the episode that just released this week. So it's the second episode of our second season. I interviewed Pavel Polanco Safadi, So he's originally from the Dominican Republic and moved to the U.S. because he earned a music scholarship. He plays piano and came to the U.S. to study classical piano and eventually got a doctorate in music and taught music at Earlham College in Indiana, but has really been involved in how music is a cultural bridge builder, a way to share, across our differences and appreciate the arts as a core part of all different cultures. So he runs a nonprofit in Richmond, Indiana called Amigos. It's a center that supports Latino immigrants and Latino Americans. But music is a big part of what they do. They have a big music festival, international food festival, these cultural celebrations that try to bring together people who are from really different backgrounds in a small Midwest town and just help to appreciate each other. So, that his story was really great. He's full of energy. If you listen to that episode, I think you'll hear some of that. But he's a Latin jazz performer and got just a really amazing story of where his life has taken him.
Well, and Josh, tell us about your interview.
Yeah, I spoke with Cao Kalia Yang, among American writers based in St. Paul. And she was born in the Ban Vinai refugee camp in Thailand and emigrated to the U.S., resettled when she was 6 years old in the Twin Cities, and came of age in the Minnesota public schools. And one thing I really learned from her, I've lived in Pella for over 15 years, and I've known that there's a Hmong population here. I know them mainly through the farmers market, but have never had an extensive conversation with any of them. And so I was aware there was a gap in my knowledge of Midwest history, and I didn't realize how far back that community went in the Midwest to the 1980s, the Resettlement Act, I think that Gerald Ford passed after the Vietnam War. And so learning more about their role in Vietnam, how that war is still never ended for a lot of Hmong people, was really an awakening for me. But just thinking about, the story of the Hmong that I heard was from Anne Fetterman's The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down, which I think at the time was an important cultural bridge. It helped people with no knowledge of the Hmong community understand a little bit of their belief system. But it really cast the Hmong as a backward, primitive, difficult kind of cultural group. And, Kalia's story is really blows that stereotype apart. She's, a second generation immigrant to some extent. She was a child when they settled here in Minnesota, but she grew up in the schools and got scholarships and really thrived. And so in a lot of ways she represents the story of resilience, and as she says in one scene, she told herself from a very early age she was going to do more than survive when she came of age.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Brian Campbell and Josh Dolezal, hosts of the podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. Well, I had a chance to listen to this the other day, and it was beautiful. Her writing's incredible, and her voice, just to hear the sound, the timbre, just her voice is just beautiful to listen to. As I was listening, I just kept thinking, this young lady, she's every bit the American I am, and she was born elsewhere, and she's a different American than I am and people I know. And just her being here, I just felt enriched by what she had to share. Is that part of your goal, to open our eyes?
Yeah, to expand what the Midwest might mean. And, you know, it's interesting. I asked her, I think near the beginning of the episode, if she thinks of herself as a Midwesterner, and she says she does. You know, she has a Midwestern accent. She's adopted that way of speaking. And yet when she goes to give readings, it's always a surprise, you know, that a writer from the Midwest would look like her. And that's the real vision, I think, of our project, is that what is the Midwest? It's not all of the things we've thought it in the past has been, but it's bigger than that. It's broader, it's more diverse. And as you're saying, this is not the story of someone who is a marginal member of the community. This is the story of a neighbor, of a colleague, of someone who came of age in the Midwest, is every bit native to the Midwest in a lot of respects as anyone else who grew up here.
Yeah, and that was part of the beauty of it, to show me. I mean, our shared Midwesternness was a wonderful thing to think about as she was talking and you were interviewing her. But it was also our differences that were really, really neat. And Brian, you, in your interview, you had an additional element of not just words and stories, but you had music and a great American form of music, jazz.
Yeah, one of the things that was really exciting to me as a historian, but also as somebody who grew up with jazz music in the American South, where I'm from. So Pavel, you know, shared with me that, you know, I asked him, this is another one of these kind of surprises about the Midwest, you know, I asked him what it's been like for him as a jazz musician in rural Indiana. And he said, well, you know, in fact, you know, Richmond, Indiana is where the first recordings of jazz music were ever made. And, you know, so he is part of this long line of people who've come to this maybe unlikely place, but Richmond, Indiana, you know, I share some of this history in the second episode. There's a piano factory there that started pressing records in the 1920s as a way to expand their business. And they made phonographs along with pianos, and they started making records. And they realized that jazz music was this emerging genre, along with a whole bunch of other kinds of kind of American roots music. And so here in this little Midwest town that happened to be on the railroad tracks, they had just this stream of musicians who were really, you know, redefining American music at the time, including with jazz and other music, country music and other things. And so they all came to Richmond, Indiana to record. And, you know, it's this real multicultural crossroads that I think, you know, as a Midwesterner, it's exciting to have a new sense of where we fit into the history of jazz music and of other forms of culture that, you know, sometimes people overlook the rural Midwest as a place that plays that role for the whole country and for the history of our culture.
And so where can people find Mid-Americana?
Well, we're at midamericana.com. You can listen on our website. You can also just search Mid-Americana Stories from a Changing Midwest on any podcast platform. The ones that we link to from our website are Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher.
All right, so easy enough. I'm quite a podcast fan, as you might expect, you know, being a radio guy. And there's some really good ones out there, but I just have to tell you guys, this is one of my favorites.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
You're learning from about the other people that you're interviewing. You're learning about the Midwest. Are you learning anything about yourselves?
It's an interesting question. You know, I think this immigration theme in particular has caused us to have some serious discussions about the ethics, the manner in which we invite people to tell their stories. I think for some immigrant communities, the immigrant story is a private one. It's not something to broadcast publicly. You know, we've always been aware of oral history as a very intimate kind of medium. We're telling one life story and not splicing together snippets of conversations. But conversation with one person and asking them to tell us things they might never have told, you know, a public audience before. So I think for myself, it's cultivated a kind of humility, you know, that we are stewards, I guess, of the series, but really we want it to be a platform that is meaningful to both of us, right? That we're not gathering stories in ways that would harm a community or put pressure on anyone. That's been something I've been thinking about seriously in this season.
Yeah, and I think along with that, you know, we were both trained, you know, as academics to write journal articles that would go in peer-reviewed journals and be read by almost no one ever. And I think, you know, we've really enjoyed being able to produce something, share something with a much broader audience, and to feel like these intimate conversations that we're having, that, you know, there are other people out there listening, and that, you know, that's something we can all learn from. I think, you know, there's something just so deeply human about a life story and sharing stories. And so to me, you know, one of the things I love about my life in the Midwest is all the opportunities I have to interact with people who come from such different backgrounds. And so this season, you know, interviewing immigrants, to be able to laugh with people and, you know, share funny things about our experience living in the Midwest, and to hear the really, you know, serious stories of trauma and struggle with, you know, the lives people had to leave behind and the process of making a home in a place where, you know, they're so different from so many people. I mean, I think that's just been such a special thing for me to be able to have. And so it's really wonderful to be able to share that with others.
You know, I think we set out with this project on a bit of a mission, you know, to transform how the Midwest was perceived. And some of that meant taking on this chip on the shoulder of flyover country. And it's been really interesting that an immigrant doesn't necessarily care about that, whether Iowa is disrespected by people in New York, you know, because the Midwest, as many people experience it in immigrant communities, is not a regional homogenous entity. It's a very particular family unit. It's maybe the Bhutanese community in Des Moines. That's what Iowa is. And it's not something that's under attack necessarily by anyone, or, you know, identified in that way as you know, culturally shallow by people in Los Angeles. And so I guess the premise for our project has been challenged just by listening to these stories and how someone who's been born in another country and made a home here defines the region, or doesn't even care about how the region is defined. It's been eye-opening for me.
Thanks to Brian Campbell and Josh Dolezal for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.